It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him. Male and female created he, them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.
That is the astounding voice of Max MacLean reading those astounding words from the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, the foundations of human relationships. God created male and female. Now, we talk about the news every day, and isn't it interesting that the news in the headlines that we discuss so often, at its core, is about male-female, whether we're talking about transgender students in public schools, or whether we're talking about legislation, whether we're talking about the legality of gay marriage, religious freedom, all of it ties back to this essential foundational principle that God created man, male, and female created he them. We're going to have some profound discussion today, but also some fun, because a new book has just come out called Naked and Unashamed. Naked and Unashamed. It's a book written by two people who've been married for 43 years. They have together counseled some 900 couples along their way to the altar. They've written this book to people considering marriage and also people that have been married for a very long time. And by the way, I have to say right up front, they're very dear friends of mine, but they are friends to so many people, and you'll understand why in just a little bit of time. Dr. Jerry Root is a C.S. Lewis scholar. He's a senior fellow at the C.S. Lewis Institute. By the way, he's been lecturing around the country. In fact, he just finished a tour of several different countries, and I asked him if he was jet-lagged this morning, but he claims not. I'm going to argue back. But Dr. Jerry Root, thank you for joining us this morning.
Sandy, thanks for letting us be with you. And it's fun to talk with a person who's been a friend for so many years.
Yeah, let me just say that Jerry also has authored 6 other books. So this is not his first time around the block writing a book. His wife, Claudia, has also her own incredible resume. Claudia is a specialist in teaching English as a second language. She did that in public schools for a number of years. And now she teaches university students how to do that. She travels the world herself lecturing about how to sort of assimilate people into not only, I think, culture, but also the language itself. They are both professors at Wheaton College, and they've been counseling couples many, many years. Claudia, thank you for joining us, too.
Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
All right, so you guys have been married for 43 years. Claudia, you first. How would you describe, okay, let me just put it this way. How would you describe your marriage, yours and Jerry's?
Oh, well, we have a lot of fun together. We have a lot of interests, and we have cultivated many, many of the things that we put in the book to help us understand each other more and have a better marriage. And so I think that where we're at now, at this time of our life, after 43 years, we're saying it's better than ever. So that's wonderful.
Jerry, all right, same question to you, sir. How would you describe your marriage to Claudia?
Well, I think that that's true what she said, but I've often thought that marriage is like buying a house. You look around for the house you want. You look at 75, 80 houses. You finally find one that's affordable. If you think there's nothing you should do after that, your house is going to eventually fall apart. The roof will leak. The wallpaper will unravel. The paint will peel. The pipes will freeze. You have to do necessary maintenance in order to keep it the dream house. The scriptures use an image that marriage is like tending a garden. If you want the fruit of the garden, you've got to do the work. And so this basic maintenance feature, I think, is really important. And I think Claudia and I have had our ups and downs, but we've not been afraid to go to get counseling, to get somebody who could help us see perspective, and so that we could learn and grow through those situations rather than be threatened by them. And I think that openness has been extremely important in our marriage.
You know, I just want to interject that I think I've known you guys, I'm just going to guess, maybe 40 years. I don't know, at least 30.
That's right, I've right around there.
I've lost track of the decades, but...
We were two when we met, weren't we?
I was. I don't know about you, Jerry. But, you know, I would have to say, I want to paint a visual picture for people, if I could. Jerry, you played football. Claudia, you are a gorgeous, beautiful blonde. That's the way I remember you when I first met you. You guys have five kids. Five, right?
But Sandy, she's what? Beautiful, it's true, but very nearsighted. And that's why I was able to marry her. The darkest day of our marriage was when she had LASIK surgery.
Oh, yeah. Somehow I don't think that's quite true, Jerry, but a very funny comment anyway. You guys have been, I just want to paint the picture so people will understand. You've raised five little children, and you have how many grandchildren now?
Four children.
Okay.
And we have 14 grandchildren. We just had another baby about a month ago, and we're going to have another one in July. So we're going to be 15 children under the age of 9, grandchildren.
Well, there's another
the
book.
Age, yeah, the, under the age of 9 is the hilarious part. When we get together, it's crazy. I feel like I'm a teacher. I'm not a grandmother.
And do you still have to use English as a second language, probably with the littlest?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Every year at Christmas, we have to decide, are we going to make the house payment or buy the grandchildren Christmas presents? So Claudia and I have decided we're going to move into a tent.
You might have to do that. Well, that'll be, like I said, now see, that would be a great next book, too. But the point is that you...
Moving into a tent?
Yeah, and managing 14 grandchildren under the age of 9. Jerry,
good idea.
I just wanted people to understand the breadth of your experience, because certainly that qualifies you right there, both of you, to talk about marriage. But here's the thing, Jerry, you're a C.S. Lewis scholar. Claudia, you've spent your adult life really teaching English as a second language, so you have your own passions on other things. You're both teaching. Jerry, I've said in your class, you are just a phenomenal teacher. So why in the world would you guys step out and start doing marriage seminars? What was the catalyst for that?
Well, there were a couple of things. One, I was a pastor for many years. Claudia and I both had a sort of introduction to faith when we were in college. And we've spent our adult life basically pouring into the lives of college and university students. So those students are at the threshold of marrying age. And consequently, we've had the privilege of, we performed over 900 weddings and probably did premarital counseling with at least 600 others. So it was a practical part of our life, pouring into these people, trying to figure out how do we get them out of the blocks in a way that would make their marriages most successful. So that's how we came into this, actually.
You know, I should interject, too, that speaking of performing weddings, you performed the wedding and counseled my own son, Jeremy, and his wife, Liesl. And as a matter of fact, Jeremy is is a co-writer with you guys on this book, which is a great honor to him and also to us. And so
Jeremy went on, your son Jeremy went on also to be a pastor. And he was, we use this material when we counseled them, but also he was using this material when he was counseling couples when he was pastoring in Vancouver. And so he was very familiar with it. So Claudia and I produced the book, and when we talked to a publisher, they said, it's good material, but if it's going to appeal to younger people, it needs to be contemporized a bit. And so Jeremy was the perfect person to bring it into the 21st century.
Yes.
All right, so let me just say, the book is called Naked and Unashamed, A Guide to the Necessary Work of Christian Marriage. It talks about both counseling people before they marry and then after they are married, and we're going to get into both of those parts of it. But let me just say this. If you would like this book, we're going to offer some free for listeners this morning. And so if you're the first person to call 888-589-8840, that's 888-589-8840. If you're the first person, we'll send you a book, Naked and Unashamed. Jerry and Claudia, let's talk about premarital counseling differs from marital counseling. And of course, you want to set people up for success. We're just almost to a break here, but just in a sentence, Jerry, what is like the most important thing in preparing people for marriage, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think they need to have a faith-based marriage. That would be the best because it keeps them together. But the other thing is, I say to people, the difference between a good marriage and a bad marriage is not the difference between a problem-free marriage and one with problems. In a good marriage, because all marriages will have their problems, but in a good marriage, when the problems occur, they go get help. And the thing is, if your roof leaks, you go get a roofer. If your car breaks down, you take it to the garage. If your washing machine goes bad, you bring in an appliance repairman. We treat our appliances better than our relationships. And it's just crazy to me. This is a relationship where we want to have an engagement for the rest of our lives. So I think one of the most important things is to tell people, listen, there's going to be some rough roads up ahead. Don't worry about it. Learn from them. Grow through that. And learn life skill through that so that the next time that comes up, you don't worry about it. You know how to manage that. And then if something new comes up, you go get help on that too. Eventually you find out in 10, 15 years, people are coming to you for help because they see you know how to do this thing fairly well.
Yes.
Claudia, in your premarital counseling, have you guys ever encountered a couple where you said, I don't think this is a good idea, the marriage between the two of you?
I would say, I don't remember that, but I do remember we've had some couples who were hesitant to get married because they either came from a bad example in their life and they were scared. And the ones that we've pushed through, and they are calling us today years later and saying that was the best thing that we ever did. And we were afraid and you helped us to see that really marriage is a commitment and marriage is then working on that commitment. And I remember we went through just some difficult times, which is really why we wrote the book. And one of the things that was said to us by a very wise counselor, she said, you know, you can really be married to anybody if you work at it. And that was just like so helpful because a lot of times people think, well, I married the wrong person or, you know, whatever. So when you take it like that and you help couples to see, you know, you are married to the right person and you're going to work together to create this wonderful life together.
I think the only time, too, there was a story that we heard where somebody had severe reservations about whether or not the couple should get married was when I asked Claudia's dad and mom if I could marry Claudia.
Oh, yes, there's that.
Actually, that's
okay.
True.
All right, you guys.
We were a little worried. We were young. We were really young. I mean, when you think about it today, we were young for getting married.
But
what do you think about it? Hold that thought.
I think we're right. That's the problem. It's one thing if somebody looks at you and thinks you need some work in your life, and maybe you don't. But it's another thing when they think you need some work in your life, and they're spot on, you do.
Yeah.
Jerry, hang on just a second. We got to take a break. The book is called Naked and Unashamed. Naked and Unashamed. It's a guide to the necessary work of Christian marriage. We'll be back with Jerry and Claudia Root right after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich. I love that you get a little crinkle above your nose when you're looking at me like I'm nuts. I love that after I spend a day with you, I can still smell your perfume on my clothes. And I love that you are the last person I want to talk to before I go to sleep at night. And it's not because I'm lonely, and it's not because it's New Year's Eve. I came here tonight because when you realize you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start as soon as possible.
All right, that was a clip from When Harry Met Sally. I just thought that movie cracked me up. And they, of course, were a couple that were friends. Then they decided that they loved each other. So it's kind of fun how that developed. We're talking with Dr. Jerry Root, who is a C.S. Lewis scholar. That's his bailiwick. He travels the world lecturing about C.S. Lewis, and his wife, Claudia, who is an expert on English as a second language. She spent her entire career. She is an expert, highly sought after, travels the world herself, lecturing about that. But they've written a book on marriage. They've been married 43 years, 14 grandchildren under the age of 9 right now. And their new book is called Naked and Unashamed. They've written it with Jeremy Rios, who happens to be my son. This book is just is it a booklet, work booklet for couples, or is it a book for people just to read?
We think it could be either. We wrote it with the intention that it could be done by a couple by themselves, working through the chapters. There's questions and activities that they can do, but we also wanted it to be available for maybe pastors or people who are doing marriage counseling and really are looking for some sort of a curriculum. We kept it pretty short, so it would be so many weeks, and then it could be embellished by each person that uses it. But we also wanted to make sure that it was not just for people getting married and preparing for marriage, but also if people, after they're married, sometimes after a couple of years, you know, you're kind of going, whoa, and you might need just a reboot. So we were hoping that it would be just something that could be used in a various different kinds of ways.
You know, Jerry, you said earlier that, or one of you said, that one of the most key ingredients of a good marriage is this faith in Christ. It's really that mutual faith. And I just wanted to tell you a funny story, because I was just in Vancouver with my kids and grandchildren, and Kate's is 6 years old, and I was bathing her one night, and she chats. She tells me all of her secrets, you know. So she's telling me about her boyfriend. She said, nobody knows, Grandma, just you. And so I said to her, I said, Kate, see, you know, Grandma probably won't live to see you get married. I wish I could, honey. But here's the thing. Whoever you pick to marry, he must love Jesus. Because if he loves Jesus, he will treat you better, and he will be kinder to you. Well, the next day, about 24 hours later, she decided she was going to have a wedding for her pet rabbits, their stuff. So she spent hours preparing, and she made lists, and she had her tea set out. And finally, she called us all up for this wedding. She'd been preparing all day, and I was the flower girl. So I'm standing up, I'm walking like toward the altar of these two stuffed rabbits, and I'm the flower girl. And Kate suddenly jumps up and runs to me, and she says, Grandma, they both love Jesus.
Wow.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Oh. So hopefully a lesson that will stick. But yes. You guys, the title of your book is Naked and Unashamed, and you have really interesting titles. Jerry, you talk about undressing for intimacy, and you talk about undressing your stories, your heart, your mind, your soul. What do you mean by that, undressing for intimacy?
Well, it's so sad in our culture, because people get to the sexual intimacy so quickly that they truncate any kind of development, intimacy and development in the other areas of life. We as humans are very complex. I think there's a reason why God said, hold off on the sexual intimacy till after you get married. Otherwise, you're going to marry a body you know well, but not a person you know at all. Mm. So we talk to couples about the importance of cultivating spiritual intimacy, historic intimacy. One of the projects we have people do is you get a notebook and you do investigative reporting on your spouse. You start with the year of their birth and ask every question you can. Leave no question unasked, you know, about where they grew up, what was the world they were born into, because that world would eventually be born in them. And it affects the way they make decisions and so on. Who is their best friend in first grade? Who is their first grade teacher? When was the first time they ever felt betrayed by somebody? Who was their first boyfriend or girlfriend? If they can't talk about those things, then they say you can have secrets in this relationship, or you say you can withhold things from one another. You want to be open and transparent as you can be. And you find out 2 years later, maybe there's some conflict or some difficulty that occurs in your spouse's life, and they're maybe at work and something, and they have some sort of a difficulty dealing with it, and you're triggered by the memory of your discussing historic intimacy, and you say, wow, do you think this could relate to this event in your past? And you can provide real good reflection and insight to your spouse, and because you know this person, you know them intimately. We talk about intellectual intimacy, about sharing hobbies with one another. I had never traveled in my life. We grew up poor. Claudia had been all over the world. We get married, and she says, Jerry, I think we need to do a vacation overseas. I said, I don't think we can do that. And she said, yes, we can. And she figured out how to do it. And this last week and a half ago, I made my 138th crossing of the oceans. I would have never done that had I not married Claudia. But it was because of her shared interest in travel, her shared interest in music, her shared interest in literature were the things that sparked mine. And then I shared things with her like I didn't know about anything, a little bit about C.S. Lewis and football, and that was it. So I didn't bring much to the relationship, but she got into that. And consequently, we've gone all over the world looking at C.S. Lewis sites. And also, she started teaching a course for Wheaton College women on how to watch football games because she got so into football.
Oh, my gosh.
So those intellectual intimacies and then cultivating habits together. We both had school knowledge of Shakespeare, but we started going to the Shakespeare festivals wherever we could see it. And so that also became a new interest that we shared. And the results are you're going to pour into your children. You love your children, but eventually there's going to be an empty nest. And if you don't have any kind of connection point in intimacy in the areas of interest, where you're growing, where you're filling your heart full of wonder and your mind with ideas, those things bond you. And some people don't cultivate that. So we want them. We want couples to cultivate that from the outset. And then psychological intimacy, the intimacy of past brokenness in families, how do you navigate those? Because if you don't, they'll percolate into the relationship and be destructive to the relationship because you'll be projecting your own woundedness on your spouse.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to discover where are the time bombs ticking and defuse the bombs. And the only way you're going to do that is if you have deep discussion. If you're shacking up before you get married, those discussions never take place.
Claudia, you know what? I'm just going to let you respond to that. I'm just know your mind is ticking. So what can you add to what Jerry just said? In fact, I was thinking about your own relationship with him. He's talked about a lot about the things that what you brought to the relationship and how you stretched him. And when you reflect on Jerry's part of this, because I know him, I'm sure he brought something to the party. So I would love your thoughts about that.
Yes. Well, we went on our first date, we went to a luau. And one of the first things he asked me was, have you ever heard of C.S. Lewis? And I said, well, no, I haven't. I was a literature major in college, but for some reason it didn't connect with me. And so he started telling me about Lewis and telling me about his love for his works and how he wrote these children's books and that I should read them. Anyway, the next week after this date that we had, in the mail came a book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, with a little note saying I had a great time on our date at the luau. And that was the beginning of our relationship. And so I really think that he is a person of wonder. He's always learning. Jerry always wants to know about people. He always wants to, if we go to a museum, he reads everything. So it was just a lot of those things that he brought. I think my mind woke up in ways that it wouldn't have woken up if it hadn't been for my relationship with Jerry. He's fun, football and stuff like that. He doesn't like to watch sports. He likes to play sports. So we've had a lot of experiences seeing some great football games, going there physically. And anyway, we do have a bucket list. We love to look at colleges. Whenever we're traveling, we drive around. We have our favorite lists of which ones are most beautiful. which ones are not so beautiful, just a lot of things like that. But,
you know, I used to have a mentor when I was in college. His name was Dr. Warren Angel. He was the dean of our school of music, and he was from New York City, was a full-time professional musician, was a pianist, a soloist with Fred Waring. I could go on and on with his accolades. But I learned so much from him, and one of his big things was that you should never marry someone who has the exact same interests. You should marry someone who has a different interest, because you expand each other's worlds. There might be a line that you could cross on that, Jerry. I'd love to know your thoughts about that. Are there some dangers in that?
Of sharing interests?
No. Of marrying somebody who has...
I didn't understand the question.
So marrying people who have just a completely different set of interests. Like, you have very little intersection. You're from different worlds of interest. Can that be a problem?
Well, I don't think it has to be difficult, but if it is, you need to ask yourself, why is this a threat to me? Here now comes the spiritual intimacy matters.
Yeah.
I want to be secure in the love of God. If I'm expecting Claudia to do for me what only God can do for me, mm-hmm. I'll begin to project my disappointments on her because she's not God.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm fulfilled in my relationship with God and believe I'm deeply loved by Him, I can go ahead and look honestly at any kind of conflict in my own soul, in my own heart. And I don't have to then enter into a relationship and say, well, she's different than me. I'll only accept her if she's exactly like me. I want my borders to be expanded. And difference is not a threat. It's an opportunity to grow and develop. So in the places where Claudia would bring it, I mean, I get married to Claudia, and she likes opera. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, yeah, what am I going to say to my old football buddies? I married a woman who likes to go to the opera.
But, and now I have to go to the opera.
Into it. Beg your pardon?
And now you have to go to the opera. Worse yet.
Wait, I like that. I the only kind of music I knew about was bluegrass gospel music or maybe a little bit of 60s rock music. Claudia expanded my world. And here's another good example. I remember one time she took a class on Picasso, and I said to her, Claudia, come on, Picasso's an idiot. She said, really? What do you know about Picasso? Well, I didn't know anything about Picasso. So she said, well, the first thing we have to do is negotiate who the real idiot is here, and then we have to see if that idiot is educable. So she took me to the Chicago Art Institute. They're having a big Picasso exhibit, and she took me through and explained to me what was going on. I'm going, oh, my heavens. I really misjudged this thing. She said, yep, that's right. Years later, we go to Barcelona, and we see the Picasso Museum in Barcelona. It took my breath away. She opened up doors for me that I wouldn't have known. That was something very different. But the consequence of inclining into the difference, discovering those flaws in me that gave me reservation about leaning into the differences, and then going into the differences, discovering whole vistas of life I wouldn't have been exposed to otherwise. It's a fascinating ride, Sandy.
Let me just say, the book is called Naked and Unashamed. And we are giving away copies of that today. And so here's the thing. If you're the first caller at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, you'll get a free book, Naked and Unashamed by Dr. Jerry Root and his wife Claudia and my son Jeremy Rios, who added to the book as well. And I want to say Lyle Dorsett, who is a Billy Graham professor of evangelism at Beeson Divinity School, has said, I have performed scores of weddings over the years, and my wife and I have done the premarital counseling. I wish this insightful book had been available for us. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, pastor emeritus of the Moody Church in Chicago, says this is not just a book for those contemplating marriage. It's for all of us, no matter how many years we have been married. I recommend two copies, one for yourself and one for a couple that you know needs this critical biblical perspective. I would say this, Jerry and Claudia, because I know you guys so well. I haven't got the book yet because it's just out, but I'm going to get it. I know you well enough to know this is fresh insight. I know it'll be deeply biblical, but it will be fresh insight. And it's so needed. Claudia, through the years that you have been counseling, have you seen the problems shift in any way between couples? Or is it pretty much the same?
What kind of problems?
Have you seen the problems shift? In other words, between married couples, have things changed? Are the basic problems still the same?
Well, I think the big threat to marriage is the cultural changes.
Yeah.
Where people are looking at marriage more flippantly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Or, you know, if it doesn't work, we can get divorced and marry somebody else or something like this. Or they're deciding not to marry. Right. Maybe they've seen bad marriages. And Thomas Aquinas, the medieval scholastic theologian, said, an abuse does not nullify a proper use. So if they look at a bad example, they'll reject the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Rather than saying, well, that's a bad example. I wonder if there's a way to do it better. And so I think those cultural threats have caused people maybe to be fearful about marriage, maybe to feel like they didn't see good models, so therefore they almost give up.
Mm-hmm.
We would encourage couples not to give up. This is the greatest enterprise, and I think outside of a person's own personal faith, it's the greatest adventure you can go on. But it has its challenges. My friend Duane Elmer, who's a cultural scholar, he studies cultures, he's been all over the world, and he said the greatest cross-cultural experience of a person's life is marriage.
Yep.
Let me just say the book
is Naked and Unashamed. We have to take a break here. Naked and Unashamed, A Guide to the Necessary Work of Christian Marriage. That's the voice of Dr. Jerry Root. And Claudia will be right back.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We were both born in the same
in
hospital.
1921.
7 days apart.
In the same hospital.
We both grew up one block away from each other. On the Lower East Side.
On Delancey Street.
My family moved to the Bronx when I was 10.
He lived on Fordham Road.
Hers moved when she was 11.
I lived on 183rd Street.
For 6 years, she worked on the 15th floor.
I worked for a very prominent neurologist.
Where I had a practice on the 14th floor, the very same building.
We never met.
Never met.
Can you imagine that?
You know where we met? In an elevator.
I was visiting family.
In the Ambassador Hotel in Chicago, Illinois.
He was on the third floor. I was on the 12th.
I rode up 9 extra floors just to keep talking to her.
9 extra floors.
That's from When Harry Met Sally. A long time ago, but those crack me up. They had little vignettes of couples who'd been married for a long time sharing about their experiences. We're talking about marriage. And the book is called Naked and Unashamed. And if you're thinking about getting married, or if you are married, or even, you know what, if you are in your later years of marriage, it is never too late. In fact, I'm in a situation where I see a lot of older couples who really have turned against each other. There's a lot of hatred and bitterness and terrible things that are said to one another. In fact, Claudia, let's talk about that for a second, because communication can destroy or build up in a marriage. And you guys have a whole chapter on that, unpacking communication. I'd just love to know what comes to your mind to share about that.
Well, I think the reason we put such an emphasis in that part is that we were really not that great on communicating when we were first married. And some of it has to come from your background, where I grew up in a home that was a loving Christian home, but we didn't, I didn't really learn to communicate my feelings very well, and so I brought that into the marriage. And we're also very different personalities. Jerry's an extrovert. He's really good at communication, and very logical. And I am kind of I'm not an introvert, but I can tend to get my energy from being by myself. And so I wasn't very good at explaining my thoughts. And so what would happen is we would get into these silly arguments because Jerry's very logical and I'm more emotional. I would talk. And I think this is really common in so many marriages where we're not really good at sharing our feelings without attacking the other person. So that whole area we were weak on. And so what we did is we ended up going to a counselor, and the counselor really, really helped us to learn how to listen to each other better, to say back to each other what the other person was thinking and how they were feeling. And we just slowly started to see that this was a skill that we needed to learn. It wasn't natural. And I remember hearing that if we have a relationship with God of our own and we are looking to Him to meet our needs ultimately, that then our relationship with our partner can flourish. And I think that just slowly, these were things that we started to learn, and we wanted them in the book. And we're still learning them, because now we're at the, you know, stage of grandparenting, and we still have to work on communicating well. So just, I think that's really, really a long-term project, and that's why we put it in the book.
You know, I started out, I know this, you probably don't address this in your book, but I know you have thoughts about it. I teased sort of that what I'm seeing is a lot of older couples get into communication patterns that are so destructive. So destructive. Mm-hmm. They say hateful things to each other. There's disrespect. I would love to know your thoughts about that, Claudia. I mean, should they get? I think they get into this and they think that's just the way it is, and they're in their upper years. So why change? What would you? Right. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that it can become a pattern and a habit, but we can change. We can change if we really want to. If we are out there looking and learning. I mean, there's a book that really helped me. By Harville Hendricks, he's a marriage counselor as well, and he talked about that marriage is a place where we're growing as people. It's God placed us in this place for us to grow, and his goal is for us to become more like Christ. And when you start to see how the things you're working out in your marriage are ultimately helping you just even as a person and spiritually, that you begin to see them as gifts and places where you can learn. So I would say that get out of the bad habits and start to work again on it. And another thing for couples that we were told, and this really helped us, is our marriage counselor said, I want you to get up every morning, I want you to hold hands, and I want you to pray together. Well, that's really hard to do if you got awkwardness in your relationship, but we found that God was so faithful, because as we began to pray together, our hearts became more and more knit. And this is older. We were older and had been married for maybe over 20 years at that point. So just things like that, I think there's hope, but I think people have to work at it. But there's many tools out there. You know, go to a workshop, learn how to communicate better.
Sandy, you talked about people who, after many years, they seem to get bitter, kind of hard, so on. You see every couple that gets married at the altar, there's a sparkle in their eyes towards one another.
Yeah.
And then you can see people sitting at a restaurant for breakfast on a Saturday morning. The guy's got a newspaper up, and the woman's sitting on the other side of the wall of the newspaper. She's looking out the window, and he's looking at the paper, and it's like they're occupying space, but they have no connection whatsoever. You have to let things slide for it to get like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as long as you stay invested in the relationship, the communication thing that Claudia talked about was so important. We don't get neutrality, but we can achieve impartiality. So if Claudia says something to me, I need to give her veto power over my impression of what she said. If I respond immediately thinking I know, and I think, wow, that sounds weird, why did she say that? And I start jumping in and responding rather than believing that my wife is really bright, she's sensical, and I need to give her the benefit of the doubt. If I say to her, Claudia, you know, I respond to what I think she said, and we get in an argument. Then 3 days later, I say, hey, Claudia, do you remember the other day when you said this? And she says to me, I never said that. Well, I'm just projecting on her what I thought she said. And now I say to her, I was in the room, Claudia, you said that. Now it's a matter of integrity. And I didn't even catch what she said, but I'm looking at the whole experience self-referentially. There's no communication in that. Communication takes two people. I need to say to her, Claudia, is this what you meant? She may say to me, heavens, no, I didn't mean that at all. Now I'm glad I didn't react to it. And then I say, I don't always get it right. Could you explain it to me again? And she says, yeah, we've proved in this marriage you don't often get it right, but I'll go about it and give you the remedial lesson. So she says it to me again, and I say, is this it? And she says, that's closer, but it's not quite right. I say, please be patient with me. Give it to me one more time. She gives it to me one more time, and I go, oh, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Or even if we're going to move from that spot, now we're giving information that's helpful to one another, not information that's distracting.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, one thing that comes to my mind about just this communication thing is that a lot of times when you are in a heated argument and you really are in almost like an altered state, that sometimes it's better to just stop and both go off and think it through. And then when you're in a better place, come back and discuss things. And I think a lot of couples don't do that. And things get so mean and absolutely destructive, like you were saying. So maybe having a few of those tools to say, okay, let's stop right now. Let's go. Let's each go think about this. Let's go pray about this. Let's write down some of our thoughts and come back and talk civilly. So anyway, just those are just little, little tidbits of tools that we've learned.
Let me just say the book is called Naked and Unashamed. And we are going to give away another copy of it. So if you're the first caller at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, you're going to receive a free copy of Naked and Unashamed. By the way, you know how. Is there a favorite way to order this, you guys, that you would suggest? Or
Well, it's on Amazon. What happened is it's ready to go, but there the actual hard copy is just now being finished. It was supposed to be finished at the beginning of the month, but now you can pre-order it on Amazon, and it'll come to you.
Okay, excellent. All right, so for those of you who don't win the prize this morning, you can order your own copy of Naked and Unashamed. My guests are Dr. Jerry Root and his wife, Claudia. They're writing out of their 42 years' experience of marriage and also all the seminars they've done through the years and having married 900 different couples through the years and counseled them. They have a lot to say. Jeremy Rios has helped them. That's my son, of course. He's helped him with the writing and his own experiences. So I think you'll find it an excellent guide, whether you're thinking about getting married or whether you are already married at whatever stage you may find yourselves in. Jerry, the one thing that's always one of the problems, I don't know if it's the biggest, I think money and communication may be worse, but sex. Let's talk about that because you guys write about that too. I'm not even sure where to start, but I bet you know. So what is it you're trying to communicate in this book? In a few words, about the sexual intimacy required in marriage.
Well, it's certainly one of the most pleasurable parts of marriage, but it can quickly atrophy if you're not developing intimacy in these other areas. But the one big thing, we talked about communication. It's interesting we use the word intercourse to speak of deep communication, but also sexual union. I think there's a connection between communication and sex. And consequently, in our world, we tend to be self-referential. We don't think sometimes about the other person. And in our culture, too, we think about sex usually from a male perspective, even in our movies, our books, and so on. And so consequently, a man gets married, and he thinks sex is about him. Mm-hmm. He has his enjoyment, and he doesn't realize even about his wife and about her potential and capacity for sexual fulfillment. Women have the ability to enjoy sex and experience orgasm at least 10 different ways. Men, about one. We're useless, totally useless. All the thrill of getting excited about it, we're done and we think it's over. And our poor wives are just sitting there saying, well, what about me? And if you think outside the box and think about your spouse and think, how can I pleasure my spouse? How can I engage in this properly? It will be better for the man if he's thinking about his wife. The great high courtesy of heaven is Jesus, when he dies on the cross, says, I offer my life for you. In the sexual union, it should be, how can I pleasure you? My life for you. And you cast that bread on the water, it will always come back to you. But if you look at it self-referentially, you end up using your spouse. And consequently, when you deny the humanity and the needs and the desires of your spouse, in denying her humanity or his humanity, it ends up that something in your own human life dies. Something in you dies because you neglect what it means to be human with particular needs and unique circumstances. So sex, in some senses, becomes an audiovisual picture of the kind of intimacy that should be going on in the marriage all along. If you're good at communicating, you can say to your spouse, without your spouse being threatened, you know, I would like some of this, or I would like some of that. And this communication then will make you a better lover because you're hearing what your spouse enjoys and you can provide that for them. And so there's all kinds of things that relate to the intimacies on these other levels that we've been talking about that will maximize the kind of intimacy a couple can know sexually.
All right. We have to say we only have a few minutes left, and so this is going to be hard. But one of you, if you could please respond to this, because our sexual moral values have changed so much, couples are living together before they get married, and before they did that, they were sleeping together. It's just not a big deal. There have been multiple marriages, sexual intimacy before. The value of chastity or even the uniqueness of sex within the marriage vow is rare. And Claudia, yeah, how do you address that? What have we lost here?
Well, we both believe that it's a major loss for our culture, and that the future of marriage, the future of couples, is to stop this and start to think, what are the ramifications that for a culture that has put so much emphasis on the sexual aspect of our beings, and that we're more than just sexual beings. And I just want to see our culture really go to looking, what does it mean to be imago Dei, made in the image of God, and that we're valued? And I just think we've devalued human life in so many ways. In abortion and in marriage, and there's just so many areas that it's going to take people standing up and speaking out and calling for this, and also presenting the beauty of it, and that this is a better choice.
All right, and let me just say, the book is called Naked and Unashamed, A Guide to the Necessary Work of Christian Marriage. Naked and Unashamed, you can get it on Amazon. And Jerry and Claudia Root, thank you so much for your time this morning. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.